V files, which are Flash format files that are posted on all the video sites, Google Video, Daily Motion, YouTube, and whatever, and converting them to MP3s and just listening to the MP3s rather, or the audio files rather than actually watching the videos. And for me, it's a good way when I'm driving. I can concentrate on the road and just concentrate on, you know, on listening to some of the research. Not that easy to make or to make mental notes. Say, oh, I must look into this further. But it's a good way, and I would encourage people to download anything you see, especially. In recent days, a lot of stories have been pulled. For example, the false flag, IDF dressing up as Hamas, reported in Haaretz, reported in Google News and on Google searches, has been removed and changed. The BBC, I've caught them myself doing it the other night, completely changing stories. But I had the cache story. I had the browser open and I rechecked it. The stories are changing because they're trying to give us a story that the sheeple Daryl will accept. I mean, they're just massacred thousands of people. They have guaranteed 2 to 3 generations of 1.5 million plus all the other Arabs and a lot of other people around the world that are going to hate Israel and the Jews. This isn't by chance, Darrell. This is planned. Darrell. Have I lost Daryl? Sorry, Daryl, slight technical glitch there. Well, I was just saying, I heard what
you said, Nolan. You couldn't hear me. I did have a comment about and a question for you. I've often used the Wayback Machine to get old stories. Does that work when they're removed quickly?
No. Well, it's possible, Daryl, but the way it's done is this is professionally done. We're talking about big sites that are part of the global criminal network, BBC, Haaretz, New York Times, basically getting their news from Bloomberg or AP or UPI, which are all owned by Zionist Jews, and stories are pulled, and especially during this last 3 weeks of genocide against the semi-Palestinian people, they've been doing it at a speed that a story goes up for, and we're talking about in a matter of minutes now. So we're talking about, we have a control room somewhere on the net, probably in some sort of a triangular middle of the triangle between Google, Yahoo, MSN, etc., Microsoft, in Tel Aviv and in the other parts of northern Israel where they're all setting up shops, that we do have a control room that the Jews have control of, and they can pick out stories and they can kill them. So I don't know how to do it. I wouldn't say it's a phone call or an email that could be easily picked up, but they can actually go into websites and change directly.
Yeah. Well, they've been learning as they go along as well. And one of the things that we need to do is do a learning on the other direction, because, you know, the internet, while it is powerful in that it can withstand a nuclear war, it can't withstand corruption from within, and that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about these people corrupting the entire system from inside. And the fact that they can take stories out that were originally posted is disturbing. That's why your advice is real timely. It's really important that people, you know, if you read an important story, save it to file so that you can show it again.
You don't need any special software. If you go to any website and you see an interesting story, you just go whether you're using Firefox, sponsored by Google, sponsored by Mossad Money, or Microsoft, which we know where all these people are going, or any browser, all you have to go is click on the file, top left of the window, file, save page as, and then you have the local copy of what happened. And I caught the BBC at that doing it the other night, changing stories. I'll actually post the links with this audio on my forums, theinfounderground.com. and they've been doing it. I'm only one individual. I cannot. There is so they have. And I was talking about this center, Daryl, an underground bunker, if you will. But these people are I wouldn't say they go underground. That they are monitoring all the news. They're using computer systems that are far more advanced than the ones I'm selling, which are quad core, four processor, a 4 gig of RAM PC. I sold one the other day, very high powerful. These people are using systems that they haven't introduced to us yet, and they are nearly able to monitor all communications in real time. We had all of these undersea cables that were cut. Never, of course, anything that cuts Israel off from the information.
Well, what it did do, Noel, is forced all of the traffic in that region to go through their trunk lines because they didn't have a second choice. The only lines that were connected to the Middle East are going through the Haifa Harbor or the Jewish controlled lines. Yeah. So right now they've got all the underground cables are theirs. That's it.
Well, I would say all these cables, no one's been able to give. You'd usually expect the Zionist control History Channel to come up with some documentary to explain it to the sheep, like one of their 9/11 documentaries. But what I believe has happened is the Mossad or whatever their intelligence, I mean they'll have another alphabet name, have actually put in filters and have hardwired themselves into all the undersea cables, whether it's South America, Europe, heading towards America, Africa, that they're actually hardwired into the system, and we can't. Now we have. There's enough information out there, Daryl, to warrant the arrest of hundreds and hundreds of Jews for the infiltration of the IP network in the United States prior and after 9/11. There's no doubt in my mind these people knew about it. No doubt in my mind that Mossad were actually the key players in the attacks that killed 3,000 of us humans, which is nothing to these people. But these people are hardwired into all the systems. I mean, they even got Fox News to remove the Carol Cameron story the small Israeli companies that are making the hardware for the spying on all internal and external. They're spying. People say no, they're spying on the American people. I'm talking from a European standpoint. America, I love America. Dad brought up, we loved Americans, we're Irish. We love America. It's a special relationship between the Irish people and what we believed was the American people. What we didn't know was it was a Zionist Jewish controlled America, and that the people weren't just doing it any much better than we were, but that the Zionists had controlled the world media and they built America up to America is this and America is that. Now when we look at it, there was a lot of lies put out there since the 50s, 60s, as soon as people had control of the television, radio, magazines, newspapers, and then, with their lobbyists and, all their different laws that were passed. I think there was an interesting one we read, Daryl, and probably less than a year ago, that you can go to a site called thomas.gov, which is a congressional website, and if you type in Israel, there's 409, or there was 489 pending piece of legislation that had to do with Israel on the books. You seem to think that with the mess in America, that they have more important things to do than have to discussing Israeli security, when they far outweigh in this. I wouldn't even call it a war. It was a genocide.
And it was a genocide.
And now they'll bring in Obama, and Obama's going to save everybody.
As you said before, the Obama nation, he is an abomination, this man. The fact of the matter is, no, you're exactly right, and I do want to kind of segue into what you brought up a moment ago in the special relationship between the American people and Ireland. One out of four Americans has some Irish blood in them. That's how many people in America have ties to Ireland. And the simple fact that I'd like everybody in the world to know that listens to this broadcast is Ireland is being targeted by Zionist Jews for destruction because of their vote against the Constitution in the European Union.
Absolutely.
Because these criminals need a unified EU to go ahead with their criminal ideas. And if the Irish can suck it up somehow and power through this next phase of terrible problems that they're going to face and say no to this European Union, which is exactly what they should do, they will be striking a blow for freedom worldwide, because these people cannot function without a unified EU. And that EU right now is in jeopardy because of the last Irish vote. And so what did they decide to do? They decide to crush Ireland's economy and make suffering there part of their plan to cause the Irish people to go vote yes on this constitution. And that is the real reason why Ireland is falling so hard, much harder than every other country.
Well, you know, Darla, I did some research during the week. The biggest exporting company from Ireland is Jewish-owned, Luxembourg.
Yep.
Dell is the biggest company in Ireland, biggest exporting company in Ireland. They've decided, because of under pressure to leave Ireland, they're now moving from Poland, 1,900 job losses. So I looked into this the other night. I looked at the Belfast Telegraph. I looked at the Galway Leader, the Leinster Leader, the Kerry Man. I went north, south, east and west. And all I'm reading is house prices dropping. I'm reading jobs going absolutely everywhere. I was talking to my mom the other night, and she said, oh, she was very worrying. Oh, gee, jobs going all over the place. All you're hearing now is bad news. And it reminds me of when I left Ireland in 1985, 21-22% unemployment at the time when I left. So when I left Ireland, I left for 3 weeks as a holiday. It's been a 23-year, 24-year holiday since, if you call it that, hard work and paying taxes and being a decent citizen and being trying to be a decent human being. I said there has to be a Jewish banking angle to this, and I was looking, and I had to look down, but okay, it was there, absolutely right there, smack in my face. This Zionist Jewish guy over at the IMF, you've talked about him enough.
Dominic Strauss-Kahn, that's right.
He is now, the IMF are going to have to bail Ireland out, and all government workers will have to take a 12% drop in salary under IMF, which is an international Jewish banking institution, to take a 12% to go along with to getting bailed out for a problem that they caused. And they brought the Jewish New York financial houses brought a lot of money into Ireland in the late 80s. Darrell, I'd left. We got the Celtic Tiger going. Next stop from Europe, from Ireland, next stop from Ireland is America, 3,000 miles. It was the first part coming from America, go to Ireland. They built up Shannon, they built up Dublin, they built up the country as a kind of testing area. They brought us from down in the doldrums up to a very, very successful country. We're higher up. Even the new country that could even measure us in the last 15, 17 years was Luxembourg, which is more banking. And we'll get into that another time. And all of a sudden now the carpet has been pulled from under the feet of the Irish people, and they're now starting to wake up. Plus they have a lot of immigrants, which is causing stress, keeping their mind off the real enemies. I even discovered we have a guy, Shatter, it's like Shatner without the N, who is Jewish, Jewish TD, which is an Irish politician, for a population of 1,700, got attacked the other day in the Dáil, which is the parliament, by the head of Sinn Féin, the political wing of Sinn Féin in the Dáil, and they're all after him. Now this guy was very, very critical, Darrell. I won't pronounce his name, it's in Irish, and I used to speak good Irish, but I just couldn't pronounce his name, Angus O something, and his drive was also meant for the Israeli ambassador to Ireland, which he once kicked out, which I absolutely agree with him. And we need to, with all these demonstrations, the Israeli ambassador to Switzerland should be kicked out, to France, to the UK, to all of these countries, if you're going to really show support. But it's not going to happen, Darrell. We know it's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, the fact of the matter is what when these people came in with their checkbooks back in the 80s to build the Irish Tiger up, what they did is they moved people out of cottage industries that might well have been able to grow, such as, you know, the Irish have been well known for clothing that is very durable, very wonderful woolen thing.
Aaron, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, but you know, there are parts of Ireland and Scotland that were they destroyed the industry, not built it up. What did they give them? They gave them this international business model that was owned by Jewish companies, and so that their future could be pulled out from under them whenever these criminals wanted to. Whereas, had they built cottage industries, unique industries that were built up from Irish ideas and Irish products, they would have been able to fall back on their own production. That is no longer true there. And basically what it was they were building that economy based on housing. Again, much like the British model, where they were inflating housing prices using speculation to build higher and higher prices on things. People were second mortgaging and reselling their property, taking the profits, buying a new car, buying a new furniture. The furniture companies opened up, buying things from that money, and it was a spiral upward through this velocity of money and this printed money that the Jews were making available. Well, once the carpet got pulled out from under that system, now what's left behind is nothing. There is nothing to fall back on, and even those cottage industries that once were sound parts of the economy have been destroyed. There are very few left of unique products, and the only one that they have left is Ireland's beautiful country. Tourism is something people want, but right now in this economy, who's going to be a tourist? Nobody. So they're left with nothing, and this is why this is one of the biggest tragedies in Europe. And you said that they were very close in value to Luxembourg, but that was on paper, not on production
absolutely,
value.
Absolutely, paper.
Paper value. Now, no, you know as well as I do the old economics that you learned back in your A levels. It was a country should be judged strong by its production. What does it make? Well, that's not the way they've done it lately. They said service industries. They said, you know, you take the money out of the value of your house to build it bigger, more fast food restaurants and all the rest of it. And now what you've got is a septic tank instead of something that is really beautiful. They've taken Ireland from a potentially one of the great beautiful nations in the world, and they've tried to destroy its essence. Now, what that's going to force is people back to their roots. And while they're going back to their roots, Noel, I'd like them to rediscover for themselves what the British, in concert with these Zionist criminal bankers, have done to Ireland.
Yep.
Over and over and over again. They've murdered and pillaged that nation since for the last 300 years, more.
Absolutely. Well, Darrell, I'd just like to remind people of Irish people specifically that would be in my age group or that would remember the 80s in the beginning to mid 1980s. You'd often try to get out of our problems at the time. We did have a campaign that was called Guaranteed Irish. It was a big G, a big green G on products, which guaranteed, and that was supposed to help us get out of the problem. And I think it was quite a successful. It had lower VAT at the time, and it made sense to buy Irish products. And we were in the middle of a terrible scenario. Darrell, I finished school. I was offered a job as an assistant manager in Tesco's or Quinsworth. They're the same. They're the same chain as Carrefour. Now Carrefour has bought them all out, and you know,
owned by Zionist Jew Rothschild.
Well, you know, buy them out for cheap globalization. And this just, I don't know, Irish people. Just look at this scumbag. He's not Sean Fitzpatrick. He was the head of Allied Irish, which is the second biggest bank in Ireland. It's just been nationalised. They send in the regulators and the accountants in, and they discover this guy lent himself over the years €87 million euro, Darrell, and he didn't even put it on the books. These people, and this is people, this is how, in my opinion, that the international, the mainstream, the crooks, the Warburgs and the Rothschilds,
Oppenheimer, and yeah,
the whole lot of them get these mid-level bankers. So this guy was the head of the second biggest bank in Ireland. He wrote himself a loan of €87 million euro and didn't even put it on the books and expected to get away with it. It's amazing.
Well, you know, the biggest company, I think, in Ireland right now is Ryanair. And Ryanair is going to go belly up soon as well, because they're built on a paper trail that's going to go up in flames as well. Sadly to say.
Darrell, listen, we made a pact, myself and yourself, about a month or so ago that we'll do our very best this year in 2009 to remind the Irish people that Lisbon 2 is coming later on in the year.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of suffering, going to be a lot more job losses. Double-digit unemployment is just around the corner. I think it's up to 8.8%. So, like Spain, which is absolutely in the toilet, the UK is in the toilet. Nobody's buying anything. Everything we thought you had money in houses and stuff doesn't mean anything anymore. And even if you had a house, even if it was worth half as much, you couldn't sell it anyone because no one can get any credit. Darrell, this is going, we're going to have to do some more work. We need some more Irish people. Join the forums. Join the blogs, make comments on the newspaper articles, link to something.
They can write me on my smith@iamthewitness.com. I am full force into helping Ireland stand up to these crooks and to tell everybody in their communities just exactly what has happened here, because unless the education process begins now and everybody in the next few months learns of what has happened to their nation, your nation, these people may pull a fast one. They may pull a fast one here.
Well, you know, I've been doing these shows there for about a year and a half, 2 years. Anyone doubts that I'm Irish or that I'm not a pro-Irish, anti-globalist, anti-Zionist, which I am. We need the help of our European friends, the Germans, the French, the Austrians, the Finns, the Swedes, the Danes, the Poles. Ireland is really going to be the testing ground. There's only 4 million of us. And I'm not counting Northern Ireland. They voted in the UK. We're talking about Ireland. It's going to be a huge end of year. Now, what I'm seeing, like Darrell, like I've seen for a complete 9/11 movement infiltrated by groups that are going to show up saying, "Don't vote against it," and then at the last moment, we'll tell all their people, "No, we'll actually, they'll do okay. Let's vote for it." Giving way to Lisbon 2 is giving the green light to the international Jewish bankers for a complete world bank. Now, people don't believe me. If you go to your favorite search engine, go to Google News, some of the politicians now are bringing it out and it's being reported, a real world bank will be the solution. So these people that got us into this financial disaster are supposed to now save us. Once bitten, twice shy, Darrell.
Yep. Well, but you know what? If they were to have that test vote right now, they would lose that vote. But by the time the vote comes around, they're going to inflict so much misery on the Irish population that they're going to be scrambling to find food if they don't start dealing with the issues right now. Any Irish listeners right now, and I know we've got several hundred people throughout the British Isles. I don't know how many of them are from the Irish community, but they need to tell everybody that food storage immediately, get yourselves ready for very tough times. Because they are just on the horizon here. We're heading down that slippery slope into the precipice, and I got to say, it looks very grim at this moment. But that doesn't mean we have to knuckle under to these crooks.
Absolutely.
What it means is that's more of a reason not to.
Well,
it's like selling your soul to the devil, Noel, and that's exactly what's going to be done if they vote yes on Europe.
Yeah. And you know, I'd just like to just on a final point there. We move on to the next section, Darrell. I'm reading there in the Guardian that the Irish government said they fear an IMF intervention that was posted on the 14th of January. These were the people. If people, you know, Irish people, I think specifically about my brother-in-law, great guy. The only party in Ireland that wanted a no vote to Lisbon was Sinn Féin, which is the political wing of the IRA. And they were the ones, the only party. You know, all the government, the top government officials, the opposition, you know, it's like in every country that, you know, they get in for a couple of years, the opposition gets back in, and blah, 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 goes on and on and on. All of these people are for giving away all the rights of the Irish people. And, Darrell, the Irish people are very... I don't know how to describe ourselves. You know, we don't like to be dominated, and I think a lot of people are, you know, with this Talmudic television box, they're so so into, you know, into watching things and not into doing a little bit of research. Even if people went back to, you know, I was talking there to several people, Daryl, during the week about how many countries or provinces or districts have the Jews been kicked out of. And I know I kind of changed topics there, but I'll keep it back on the Irish theme. And the English kicked the Jews out in 1290, and they didn't get in for a couple of centuries, but they got back in on the back of Cromwell. The bankers, the Jewish bankers of the time, sponsored Cromwell, who allowed them into the UK. And if Irish people want to study their history to see what he did to the Irish people, and this is what's going to go on again. History is repeating itself. Ireland's going to be in for a very rough 209. We have to say no to Lisbon too. There's no way out of it, and we stop these people. That's what the Irish people we've always fought in all the wars. You go anywhere, we fought, you know, whether it was in the Spanish Civil War, in World War One, in World War Two, often on both sides. You know, that happens. Some Irish people fought with the Germans, some fought with the British. Of course, there's a very famous story, Darren, of there's a big store in Grafton Street in Dublin. I'm trying to think of the name. It's been that many years that I can't remember it. It'll come back to me. And during the Great War and during the Second World, no, sorry, during the Second World War, they put up a notice saying that any Irishman, no, First World War, sorry, any Irishman that signed up to work for the store, for every week that he served with the British Army in the war, he would get a half week salary. And of course, lots of people signed up for the money. I mean, it was poor, you know, it was a very, very poor country. And of course, when they came back from war, it wasn't honored.
Ah, well, you know, during the famine.
Yeah, Daryl, the famine era, when people look into who were these rich English landowners, it's like the rich landowners now, they're Jewish, they have connections to British Judaism and friends of Israel, like the Brown, like Blair.
You're like exactly right.
Miliband.
They actually shipped out all of the food that was available in storage that could have averted much of the suffering and death, and they moved it out of Ireland so that the people would fall victim to starvation and pestilence. And the simple truth of the matter is it was done by Zionist Jews in concert with the British right around the time of the Balfour signings in that period, just up to in advance of World War One. And of course, you're exactly right. People would have gone and fought for the devil himself to get a piece of bread. So they signed up Irish to go and fight against Germans. The manipulation in the Irish community has been absolutely horrific, and what we need to do is reteach the truth about their past, because much of that has been excised from the history books.
Well, you know, there was a large Nazi movement, Daryl, in Ireland during the war, and people said, "Oh, the Nazis." How about, you know, Irish people revolting against 800 years of British rule, which is, we still have in Northern Ireland, is going on and on. And you know, there was Irish fascists. Ireland was in turmoil during the war. I mean, my mom remembers shortages. She was born before the war. My dad as well. Do you remember only allowing a certain amount of sugar, a certain amount of flour every week, and we weren't even in the war. So, you know, yeah. A world war breaks out, which I'm very, you know me, I'm pessimistic. I always think the worst case scenario, if it doesn't break out and I'm wrong, well, that's great, and nobody loses out on it. Any sort of world war, and you know, we're all in trouble big time. And the bankers came out. They came. I mean, Daryl, I've read that Paul Warburg was still in Germany in 1945, going around living in the best hotels up until 1945.
That's right. That's exactly right. And he actually lived in areas that were being bombed, and the only reason he left Germany was because the areas of his residents were under threat, but he would have stayed throughout the whole war, and he was providing capital from Jewish interests in New York as well as London.
London, yeah, absolutely.
Now, what you need to know about the Northern Ireland's flag, the Northern Irish Ulster flag, is it has the Star of David in the center of the cross.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
And so when you understand that Northern Ireland is under the thumb of Zionist Judaism, and the fact that they follow this Zionist criminality, they even put it in their crest and their flag.
There's absolutely nothing to be said there. That's absolutely, that's absolutely spot on. As I said, going to be a difficult... Darrell, I want to bring up the Second World War. I'm not going to talk about any camps or anything like that. There's a lot around about whether Hitler was from Jewish stock or not. I was thinking about this today. Whether Hitler was the great, well, you have to put up with about 50,000 hours of Nazi television on the History Channel every year and all the different channels. We have 170 new films about the Holocaust coming out in the last few years from Jewish-run Hollywood. And we have the question of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. And the question boils down to me is, did Hitler really fight against the Jews? Did he cooperate with the Jews? And all I see at the end was the creation of Israel in 1948. Was, in your opinion, Adolf Hitler part of the ploy? Did he plot against, did he fight against these people? Or was he just another useful idiot similar to a long line of other politicians?
Well, I don't know that. I don't know either way to be true, except I can tell you that his actions and the people he borrowed from and the monies that he took to build his war machine and the agreements he made with Zionism and Zionists to move Jews to the Middle East and all of these, all of his highest level SS and Gestapo people being from the Jewish community allowing top level German Jews that were involved in finance to remain in Germany unmolested, and the fact that he went into Russia to destroy his own war machine against the advice of everybody, knowing full well that it would be the destruction of his country and his military. All these things put together say to me that there was a lot more behind this Nazi stuff than meets the eye, and it all moves toward the Zionist story. And the last thing I'd like everyone to know is that the National Socialist Party of Germany, their call letters does not add up to N-A-Z-I, but the Ashkenazis do.
Yeah.
And they are the true Nazis, the Ashkenazis. And I've had people complain to me saying I'm giving Nazism a bad name by linking them with the Jews. And I said, well, Zionist Judaism, when you marry together an image people have with Nazism, and Nazism, let's face it, had its brutality. They were eugenics peddling people. They wanted to kill the infirmed, and they wanted to kill the elderly, and they wanted to get rid of the gypsies and the rest of it. And that even outside of the Jewish community's questions, and there are plenty of questions. The fact of the matter is that that Nazi, N-A-Z-I, is the last four letters of Ashkenazi, and their whole leadership structure was set up. And now you are seeing parallel structures being played out in Israel right now. Now, either they were taught that structure by the Nazis, or they are the same group.
Yeah, I have a tendency to think that it's the latter, Darrell.
Yeah. Well, that's possible.
Darrell, I'd just like to give out an address there. We have a huge worldwide problem of old shoes, Darrell. I'd like to add in a little bit of humor here. I'd just like to put in a little address. Apparently there's a donation. If you want to throw shoes at anybody, you can do it at 800 Second Avenue, New York, New York, 10,017, right in front of the Israeli Consulate General. Recycled shoes, big donation next week. Everyone get out there.